It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Welcome to Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. We believe that retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful season of a person's life. So don't retire, become repurposed. Well, I'm your host, Jared Sebesta. I'm the co-founder of Retire Repurposed alongside Ben Tejas. Thank you so much for joining us today. No matter if you found us on the radio, maybe you found us online, if you just head over to iTunes, find our podcast, click subscribe, and better yet, leave us a positive rating and review. If you would do that, we would appreciate this so much. Now, this podcast, it's about retirement, but it's not about the financial side. It's about the non-financial part of retirement, which many times can be even more challenging than the financial. Few people can just flip the switch from working a career 30, 40, 50 years and then retiring on Saturday without methodical steps into what we call a repurposed retirement. If you want more for your life and your retirement, then you have come to the right place. Well, in this episode, we share the story of Bill Nelson. Bill is 78 years old and is dedicating his time to educating and inspiring fellow retirees into a life of wellness and purpose. In this podcast, Bill talks about how his mother survived the Spanish flu and was there to help Bill and his family during tragic times. Enjoy this episode. You know, you're the same age as my dad. You're 78 years old, staring at you here across from the table. You don't look 78. What do you do to keep yourself in shape?
I've always exercised. I've always been involved in sports. And 20% of who you are is inherited, and the other 80% is what you do.
Yeah, well, that's a good way
to look at it. And so I inherited some stuff, but mostly I've just kept an active lifestyle.
Yeah,
and done the right things, I guess.
Yeah, I've done a little reading on you. You're a big fan of staying active and moving. What do you do? Do you bike? Do you walk? Do you hike? What do you like to do?
All of those.
Yeah.
Yes. Most of the time, I play golf and I walk, and I get harassed for that. And I've made some of my buddies actually start walking when they play golf, because it seems like everybody now has to ride a cart, and I don't understand it. And I think that's a big thing. Like, I'll play golf at least 3 or 4 times a week, and I'll walk the whole time.
Do you track your steps?
No, but the people I play with do that.
Yeah.
And we, you know, 9 holes is generally about 3 miles, you know, 2 to 3 miles. And so if you go 18, you might walk 5 or 6 miles.
That's great. Great. Well, good for you. Again, thanks for joining me here today. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing now. I think you've got a phenomenal story, and that's why we wanted to highlight that story on our podcast. You've got a real heart for people that are retired, and you've got a lot of insight. Tell folks just kind of what you do and what takes up your time now.
Well, my theme is to use yourself up. You know, we have talents, and we don't realize how much experience and how much knowledge that we've gained. No matter what you've done in your life, you're still an expert on life.
That's right.
And we should be sharing that. We should be helping other people learn what they need to do to stay healthy.
And right.
Healthy and relevant is the word that I like to use a lot.
Yeah. Well, you're working a lot with retirees, which I guess would be kind of considered your age group. When did that all start? When did you start to see a need there within that age bracket?
I don't know. It just kind of evolved because I was a high school teacher, so it doesn't seem like that would be something I would do.
Right.
But I started thinking about it. I wrote a book called Fit for Retirement, actually was the name. And at that time, that made me open my eyes up to the fact that a lot of people think that retirement is when you quit doing things.
Yeah.
And I look at it more, that's the time where you start your life.
Absolutely.
I mean, your second life, so to speak. And so, you know, it just all kind of evolved.
Yeah. What do you see? What, you know, when you work with retirees, what is their, you know, what's their mindset? What do you see in them that you felt like you needed to come in there and say, "Hey, this is not how it's done." What would be kind of that that mindset that they have?
I just have the idea that most of them think that their work is over,
yeah.
And I think their work is beginning.
Yeah.
You know, because, again, it's use yourself up, use your talents. And if you have the confidence to do that, to speak up and say, you know, maybe this would be a better way of doing things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about your background a little bit. You mentioned you were a teacher. You were a coach for many years. Take a little trip down memory lane. How did it all start? And I think that's going to give our listeners kind of a viewpoint on how it brought you to where you are today.
I actually was born in Granite Falls in 1943, which is a long time ago. We were just coming out of the Depression and World War II, and
yeah.
It was an interesting time. And so went to school there for a while, and then we had some economic problems. My dad had just started his own car dealership in Granite Falls, and he had borrowed money to start that. And he and his sales manager were in a terrible car accident. And his sales manager was killed, and my dad broke every bone in his body, I think, and was in the hospital for 3 months and lost the business.
Wow.
And we were bailed out by my grandpa.
Wow.
And we moved, had to move out of Granite. We went to Clarkfield for a while, and then eventually he worked his way back, and we settled in Hutchinson, and that's where I graduated.
Interesting.
From high school. And I was always an athlete. And I think that was one thing that really helped me get through all of that is I had athletics to keep me busy and focused. And I just, you know, loved that part of my life. And so after I graduated, and I played football in Hutchinson, and I was pretty good. I was All-State. And
wow.
I was recruited by a college in Texas and went down there and to play football, I thought. But you're supposed to, you know, it's supposed to be education too.
Right.
And eventually I got on track and had to make a decision. What am I going to focus on? And so I'd always been in sports. So I want to be a coach, number one.
Yeah.
And then the second thing, going along with coaching is always teaching. So that's what I ended up doing is majoring in biological sciences and health, which is a little bit different than, and then coaching.
Sure,
also.
Sure. But before we started recording here today, you told a story about your mother. Talk about your parents just briefly. Your mom has quite a story.
Yes. My mother was born in 1918, and that was right during, you know, World War One, first of all. And her dad was in the trenches in Belgium, and the pandemic came on. That was called the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
And anyway, when she was born, she had four older siblings, and they all died during the pandemic.
Wow.
Every one of them. So she was the only child that survived that pandemic.
Huh. So, I mean, between your parents, your mom going through that, your dad going through an accident, losing a business, there was a lot going on in your life before you graduated high school.
And I didn't realize that, but, you know, my grandparents saved me. My grandpa had been a farmer, and he sold the farm, and he was one of the first state farm insurance sales people in the state of Minnesota. And so he had a fairly good business going on, and he kind of bailed us out and saved our lives, actually, our livelihood.
You think that maybe gave you the drive to be a coach or to be an athlete? Do you think that played a part in that?
I think so, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So you graduate from college, you start teaching, that brought you to Texas. How'd you work your way back to this part of the country?
I coached in San Antonio, Texas, and some people won't believe this, but I was one of nine varsity coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, football is so important in Texas. I mean, it's their livelihood.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. Friday Night Lights.
Right, that one too, yeah.
The team that I was part of, we're part of that story.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of during that era that particular program was made.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we were the number one ranked team in the nation. I never saw our team play one time. My assignment was to scout.
Wow.
So I scouted, and I scouted the team that we played in the district finals. They have a little different setup. We were a large school area. And I scouted every game that they played. So when it came to the district finals, we knew exactly what they were doing. And you know who their quarterback was? Tommy Kramer.
Oh boy, there you go. There's an old Minnesota Vikings name that people around here will remember.
So, and I actually, when I was in college, there was a Catholic school in our community that hired, you know, guys that were going into coaching to teach their elementary and middle schools sports. And so I worked with his brothers at that time too.
Yeah. Wow,
so
that's
kind of interesting.
That's a great story. Yeah. You eventually get married. I know you've had some tragedy strike in your life on a personal level. Share that. Share those stories.
Well,
if you
I've had two wives die, you know, and prematurely. And ironically, they were both 42 when they died. Hmm. And my second wife, we had two kids, and they were just 9 and 10 when my wife passed away.
And they had obviously some health issues. What if you don't mind sharing, what were some of the health issues that they had?
My first wife had a malignant melanoma, and it went to her brain, similar to what happened to John McCain, and that eventually caused her death. My second wife had metastatic breast cancer.
Oh my.
And she died in 2001. And she was diagnosed in 1999, and I was still teaching at the time. But where I taught Faribault, we had summer school all the time, and I always taught summer school. Mm-hmm. So my retirement fund was built up much faster than a normal teacher, so I was able to retire at 56 years old.
And you did do that after your second wife died, is that correct?
Yes. Okay. And, well, my kids were just 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate that both our mothers were living. My mom was still alive and her mom was still alive. And they saved me. I mean, they were there one of them was there with us all the time.
That's great.
So they became actually the mothers of my two boys.
So what did you do? You're 42 years old. You just lost your second wife.
56.
You're 56. You got two young boys in the house.
Yep.
You're quote unquote retired. What do you do?
Oh, I actually started coaching at St. Olaf College.
Okay.
Track and field. And then, it's hard to remember. It was a long time ago. But I kind of consulted with people in the fitness and wellness, and I kind of started that whole concept. In fact, I was with the charter group that formed what is called the National Wellness Association in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. So I had taken a leave of absence, and I had worked in two hospitals and directed two wellness programs. That was something that was just starting up, the whole concept of wellness. And so I got into it and actually, you know, started the concept of wellness.
How do you think that what happened with the health issues that your wife had and your background in athletics, how do you think that that has kind of molded and shaped you to get to that point in your life? Do you think that that had an effect on it?
Most people think that wellness has been around forever, but it hasn't. This idea of keeping yourself healthy has not always been around.
Right.
And so it kind of evolved with me or within me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the thing that's funny is when I was in San Antonio, I don't know if you've ever heard of Kenneth Cooper.
Yeah.
Kenneth Cooper invented the concept of aerobics.
Okay.
And that's where this fitness concept actually started, is with him. And he was working at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio at the same time I was coaching and teaching there. And he was just trying to figure out, how do you know if somebody in the Air Force is fit? And so he was trying to invent a test. And the test was to run these guys, Air Force personnel, on a treadmill and to see how long they could run before they got exhausted or something.
Yeah.
But in that process, he came up with this whole concept called aerobics and wrote the book Aerobics.
Interesting.
What's funny about that is that I use that in my teaching as one of the tests for it was called the 12-minute run. How far can you run in 12 minutes? Okay, when you think about that, that's not a very long time.
Right.
But when I started, it was just like, you're going to make me run 12 minutes?
Yeah.
You know, and now people will go out and run for an hour right. and think nothing of it.
Yeah.
So that's how much has changed since this was back in the 1970s.
Sure.
When that happened.
Right.
So.
But looking back, this is at the time in your life when everything is really starting to kind of, there's some big things that have happened. There's some big things that are on the docket of happening well from a health perspective. So I'm just kind of hearing your story and kind of putting the pieces of the puzzle together and just saying like, wow, here you are at 78. There's some major health things that happened in the world in your personal life that kind of got you to where you are today. Would that be a fair statement?
I guess so. I've never really thought of it that
right,
way.
Right, right, right. So at some point you kind of quote unquote retire, and I use those words in air quotes because I don't feel that you're retired. I want to get your perspective on that here in just a little bit. But at some point you walk away full time from coaching. Get us to that point in your story.
Yeah, I did. But I've always, you know, I had my kids. I had, that's when I got into the wellness arena.
Yeah.
And I started going out and talking to people about their health.
Yeah, that's great. Where'd you start?
Well, I was still in Faribault at the time, and we did move back to Texas and lived on the Gulf Coast for a while. And then I got involved in my kids' education. And so I, you know, became president of the Parent Teachers Association and things yeah. like that. And you know, I've always been in education, so I've looked at it and analyzed it and saw the needs.
Yeah.
And one of the needs was to help people stay more healthy. And
right.
we were just finding out that if you can take care of yourself.
Right.
People thought it was just a natural process. You grow old and then you die.
Right.
You know, life is rough and then you die. And that's what people thought.
Right.
And I didn't feel that way. I have always felt, and I mentioned it a little while ago, that only 20% of your health status is determined by heredity.
That's right.
And everybody thinks it's such a big part. Oh, my dad had a heart attack at 65. I'm going to have a heart attack at 65.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel that way. And my dad did have a heart attack at 65 and died.
Have you had a heart attack yet?
No, no, no. And so there's some, you know, you can prevent that stuff from happening. You
yeah.
can be more healthy. There are things you can do.
Yeah.
And as I stayed connected or involved in that process of knowing that there's a better way of doing things,
yeah.
I learned, you know, what is it? Even how you eat is important.
Mm-hmm.
And how much sleep you get, you know. And so that's where I started recognizing there are skills, there are habits
yeah.
that affect your longevity.
All right. Just quick rogue question. What's the biggest pitfall that you see with retirees regarding sleep and nutrition?
Well, there are three things that, you know, we always say, the people in the wellness and well-being field, is if you want to live 14 more years, if you smoke, quit smoking, or if you vape, quit vaping, and eat less and move more.
That's right.
Those are the three easy things.
Hmm.
Don't smoke, eat less, exercise Ooh. More.
Yeah, that's a great tip. You talk about the difference between well-being and wellness. You touched on it just a little bit. Go through that again. What's your mindset between those two terms?
Again, you know, my goal, and I'm still, this whole thing is still evolving. We don't know everything we need to know. But I want to make it simple because we've made it so complicated. And that's an example, the difference between wellness and well-being. Now, wellness is actually the skills and the habits that you have, okay? Like the way you eat, the way you exercise, how much rest you get, do you have purpose in life, and things like that
yeah.
are skills or habits that you have. And that translates into your well-being. So your well-being is kind of the result of what you do. And I look at well-being as being three things, and they're all F words, and that is how you're feeling, okay? And your feeling has to do with your physical and emotional health, okay? The second F word is functioning. How are you functioning? Are you able to get the basic needs, okay? And the basic needs are, we all know what they are. They're food, clothing, shelter, you know, so you need a job, you need education, you need training. Those are all vital aspects of how you're functioning, and it it's part of your well-being. Mm-hmm. And the third F word is future. Are you optimistic or are you pessimistic?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's an easy one to
identify.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And so many people, this pandemic has been awful for us in that area of what's your future looking like? Because, you know, some historians are saying this is the worst time in human history, the worst ever. And we can think back, well, what about, you know, I talked about the 1918 pandemic.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the reason this is the worst is because our population density is greater now, and the flu or the coronavirus spread more easily because of that. Mm. So there were more deaths, more people involved.
Yeah.
Whereas in 1918, the war actually was part of it was a big spreader of that pandemic.
Right.
But people weren't so densely, you know, together. Yeah. They weren't close to each other, so not as many people were affected by it.
I think that's such an interesting point. You know, in some ways, this is the worst of times, but in many ways, this is the best of times. You know, our longevity is high. Our economic prosperity is high. My generation and even your generation, we have more wealth and things than what our previous generations could have ever have dreamt of having. You know, how come people get that sense of that loss of hope? Like you mentioned, it's easy to identify. In fact, we did a podcast not too long ago, and we were addressing a fairly serious problem from a fairly kind of comical way. But we talked about, why are older people so grumpy? But we talked about this loss of hope. It's the exact same thing. In your opinion, you work with people. Why do people lose hope in life, especially at that age when they can probably look back and see how good things are and have become?
How do they lose hope?
Yeah.
I don't think they see themselves as being useful anymore, okay? And that's one of the things that I really stress is, especially for myself, stay useful.
Yeah.
You know, and staying healthy helps you do that, of course.
So you're 78 now, almost 79. What do you see? What do you see for your life in your 80s and beyond? What are you going to do?
The latest data that I'm seeing is that there could be a million kids that are born today that could live to 150.
And that's something.
And we're giving up the ship at 78? No, I don't think so.
Well, it's time we figure it out, because if we're all retiring at 65 years old or 70, that's a long time.
Yes.
That's a long time.
Yes, I think about that a lot. I said, wow, if we're going to live that long, life has got to change. It's got to be different. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't have any of the answers, except I'm learning how to help people but live more healthy and be more productive and feel like they have a purpose.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you sharing your story here today. You've got a great story. Certainly, you are repurposed without a shadow of a doubt. And we're big fans of what you're doing. So thank you for taking time and joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation I had with Bill Nelson. Not only do I think he has a great story, he is a great example of somebody living a repurposed retirement. Now, one of the things that Bill mentioned to me after we were done recording this interview, he mentioned the impact that his parents and grandparents had on him. Remember, from his story, it was his grandfather that came to, quote, save his family after Bill's father lost his business. And then again, his parents are the ones that stepped in to help after Bill's wife died. You know, I think the impact that our parents and our grandparents is being lost. And I think it's time that we begin valuing the older generations once again. Bill, if you're listening, we sure do appreciate your time on the podcast. And if you are listening and you're a retiree and you have a great story, maybe you know someone else that does, please let us know. Shoot me an email. I'd love to hear their story and get their name and contact information. My email is jared@retirerepurpose.com. That's Jared, J-E-R-R-I-D, @retirerepurpose.com. We love the opportunity to share your retirement story on the air. I'm Jared Sebesta. Remember, don't retire, become repurposed. We'll see you next time. Hey everybody, Jared Sebestier, host of Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. Few people could just flip the switch from working a career 30 or 40 plus years, retiring on Friday, without methodical steps to living what we call a repurposed retirement. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.